Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
There's a guy hit the deep right field. That ball is going. Blowing it in. Gone. He drives the authority. Now I don't believe it.
That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
Hey, what's up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show. Riding with us as we round up the list of players given 50-game suspensions by Major League Baseball before author and metalhead friend of the show, Howie Abrams, gives us a lowdown on steroids in the Major League. We'll follow that up with all the details on A-Rod suspensions and close it out by getting down to an unexpected walk-off song. So hop on, because she's Betty, I'm Gigo, and this is episode 4 of the Bullpen Betty Show.
Welcome to episode 4. I'm Bullpen Betty, and I'm here with Gigo. And we are here today to talk about performance-enhancing drugs and the Biogenesis scandal. So, if you've been following us today on Twitter and Facebook, you know that we have been on top of the news. Why? Because we are here at 245 Park Avenue, which is the address for MLB headquarters, Major League Baseball. So, Gigo, I have a question for you.
What's that?
Why are we in the elevator with all of our equipment?
Well, we don't really have the credentials to get into the commissioner's office, and the damn security guards in the lobby keep kicking us out. So this is kind of like a little in between. We'll just stay in here for a while until I can figure out some way to get into there.
And we're just going to ride the elevator up and down until you figure that out?
Well, I will. I guarantee you I'll be there when they make the announcement.
All right. Well, what do we know so far?
Well, we do know that some suspensions have been announced already. In fact, 12 players have accepted a 50-game suspension, meaning they won't appeal it, so they're going to start as of today. 7 major leaguers, 5 minor leaguers. Let's go through the names real quick. Nelson Cruz, outfielder for the Texas Rangers. Everett Cabrera, shortstop for the San Diego Padres. Johnny Peralta, shortstop for the Detroit Tigers. Antonio Bastardo, love that name, pitcher for the Phillies.
He's such a bastardo. And I love that Johnny Peralta's name has an H as the second letter.
Yeah. One of your favorites, Francisco Cervelli.
We'll talk about that one.
Right. He's actually on the DL, so it really doesn't matter anyway. Faustino de los Santos, free agent. Jordan Norberto, another free agent pitcher. And a bunch of minor leaguers. Fernando Martinez for the Yankees. Jordani Valdespin for the Mets. Jesus Montero, former Yankee. Catcher even with the Mariners. So I guess not even in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Another Mets, Cesar Puello. And Sergio Escalona of the Astros.
Well, I mean, I know this is, you know, maybe not relevant to half of the population. But the thing that really gets me the most is that I'm going to have to look at Chris Stewart catching for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it looks that way. But look, he was probably out for a while anyway because he's on the DL.
Yeah, but is he really on the DL? I don't know.
They had to put some screws in or something in his
screw
wrist or whatever.
Loose?
I mean, I think the biggest loss actually out of these names would be for Texas and Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? Two teams who are very much in the run.
Yeah.
For the playoffs, and you know, Nelson Cruz is a big bat for them, for Texas.
Right.
And it doesn't look like they did anything at the trade deadline to make up for his loss.
Right.
Unlike Detroit. Detroit did. They got, Jose Iglesias. Not the singer.
I was going to say, he can sing and play baseball? My God, these Latinos can do everything.
They'll have the best national anthem in the league. But they signed him, you know, he's a decent shortstop, so he'll fill in for Peralta for the rest of the season.
Well, I know that all of my relatives over there in Detroit were very upset, but it sounds like they've got it set up well. And what about the Mets? Come on, what do we think about that?
A couple of minor leaguers. I mean, the team wasn't going anywhere anyway.
All right, I just wanted to give a little shout out to our little brother in New York, you know, that's
right. All. They may have trouble holding on to fourth place.
Yeah?
About it, though.
So
now the big news is the one name, you know, I didn't mention.
Right? Yes.
When everyone's talking
the glaring omission.
The glaring omission is A-Rod. And MLB has said that at 3 o'clock this afternoon, they will make that call, you know?
Okay, so you're going to get that news.
Said, yeah. In fact, what time is it now?
It's 10 to 3.
Oh, you know what? Let me get out of here. I'm going to head in there. I will come back with that information. And if by any chance I don't come back, get the bail money ready.
How are you gonna get into the office?
Hand me that mop and bucket that's behind you there.
Oh, that explains the coveralls that you're wearing.
Yeah, man. I even got the keys and everything.
You're like Schneider.
Exactly.
All right. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Howie Abrams, what are you doing here?
What are you doing in this elevator?
I can't believe I'm running into you here, because if for anybody who doesn't know, Howie Abrams is the author of the Merciless Book of Metal Lists.
One of the great authors of our time.
He's been reviewed in the New York Times even, right?
Yeah, full page, Sunday Arts and Leisure section. I'm, you know, pretty much Picasso.
Oh my God, you're one of the greatest authors of our time, it's for sure. I actually, also interestingly, have known you for a really long time.
It's been a really, really long time. In fact, I think I probably first met you around 1993.
Probably, yep.
I think that was it. And I was working with a band from New Jersey called Doggy Dog, and you were friends with those guys. And every single party I ever went to, and those guys had many, many parties. and you were there.
I was.
That's how I know you.
I know. And then we sort of didn't see each other for a while, and then I think we ran into each other at a Motorhead show.
We did. I ran into you at Motorhead at Roseland, and it was like a whole reunited.
Yeah.
So good.
And now we live so close together, I hear, that it's almost as if we live in the same house.
We could have done this interview with Dixie Cups and String.
Basically. We've talked a little bit about baseball, but now that I've got you here, and we're in Major League Baseball's building.
What an elevator.
I'll be in the elevator, and I'm gonna hit the stop button so nobody can get on while I yell at you. How is it that you're a Mets fan?
It's very easy that I'm a Mets fan, and don't talk about it like it's a bad thing. Let's give you the lineage, right? Both of my parents, born and raised in Brooklyn, diehard Brooklyn Dodgers fans. So you know the Brooklyn Dodgers fans that you hear about who, like, lives were destroyed when they moved? Yeah, that was my parents. Those were my uncles. That was my grandparents. That was everybody.
They had to rebuild their lives,
they had to rebuild. So then they moved to Queens. I was born in Queens, which should give you another hint into my Mets love. But moved there, and we were pretty much forbidden from rooting for the Yankees. I mean, diehard Brooklyn Dodgers fans hated the Yankees with a passion. We pretty much weren't even allowed to like them. We could watch them. But, you know, when there was a new National League team finally in 1962 in New York, it was the New York Mets. We were living in Queens, and automatically we became Mets fans, and that's how it works.
Well, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, and when I was in high school, it was like Fast Times at Ridgemont High for heavy metal, basically. And most of those kids were Mets fans. And I have this theory that, like, Mets equals metal and Yankees equals, like, punk or hardcore. Think there's any validity to that, or am I just talking crap?
I think you're talking crap, but I do think that you're talking about an era, which would be the mid-80s, where the Mets really did rule the baseball world, let alone just the city. But the 70s... and a lot of the punk bands, especially the Ramones, for instance, were known to be wearing, like, Yankee stuff.
Oh.
So there was definitely a Yankee connection to the Ramones. So if you want to go, you know, on the punk rock Yankees thing, which I so don't see.
Okay.
I don't see.
It's really a generational thing.
I think so, and I don't know. I don't know if I would associate the Yankees with metal or punk. Probably more like easy listening and, you know, something.
Jock rock.
Something where it's, like, very expensive to buy a ticket.
You know, I like to come up with my academic theories, and, you know, those are the kinds of things
that
can get shot down.
It was a decent try. It was worth a shot.
I try to entertain the masses. Sometimes I fail. I mean, this might still be entertaining, though. Whether or not it's correct, I really don't care.
Someone's going to find it entertaining, I'm sure.
My mom or Gigo's brother.
Oh, my wife's dying to hear this. My daughter, too.
Right. Your wife. Good. Well, we have three people listening. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, what do you think is going to happen with the suspensions today?
I think what's going to happen is, it may have already happened. The offer of sitting out the rest of this year and next year, I think, has actually been put forth to him already. Obviously, A-Rod is saying he's going to fight it. And if he fights it, you know, old hypocrite Bud Selig is probably going to try to go after this lifetime ban for him. And, which I think is a little bit ridiculous, but I do think A-Rod's enough of a dude that he kind of put himself in this position to possibly have that happen and end his career this way. I mean, I think that at the end
right.
of the day, it's embarrassing if you get banned, but we're also at a point now in baseball where so many people who got 50-game bans are playing again as if it didn't even happen, you know? So
right.
it's like there's
right.
guys on the field as we speak all day today, all weekend, 50-game suspensions, and they're playing and like there's no mention of it, and I think everybody starts to pretend as if like, oh, it's not possible that they're doing it again because they were banned. They
How
were banned
they?
For 50 games already. Why would they do it again?
Right.
It's like, what are you nuts? It's like, you know, of course they're still doing it. So it's a weird catch-22 situation.
Do you know that's why I don't play Major League Baseball? Because they've got a lot of dirt on me. In regards to juicing?
Just juicing? I thought there was a lot of other dirt.
Come on, man. You know, you got to keep it a little bit under. So let me just admit what I can
but
admit to.
I didn't
to.
Know that, like, green drinks like kale and ginger and carrot juice and stuff was the same juicing that they're talking about.
Oh, so you could do kale and
totally,
carrot juice? That's
totally
cool.
Different juicing.
So do you think that the whole use of steroids sort of, you know, ruins it for all the players? I mean,
the problem is that now everybody is under suspicion, right? So, like,
right.
I went to the Home Run Derby a couple of weeks ago, and you're looking at these guys like Cespedes and, you know, who here on the East Coast, you don't know anything about him, and what's his name from the Orioles, and, you know, they're hitting home runs like it's going out of style.
Chris Davis, or
right,
are you talking about, right?
Right now, immediately in your head, there must be juicing.
Yeah.
Look at Miguel Cabrera, right? I mean, he was
mm-hmm.
very good with the Marlins, but all of a sudden he gets to the Tigers, and he has like a year's worth of statistics in a half a season, and you can't help but question it. I'm not saying he is or isn't on anything, but how do you not question it? It's like he had like almost 100 RBIs at the All-Star break. He had like 30 plus home runs. That's someone's season 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Right. So who has the home run record? Is it Bonds or Maris?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
One's the potential juicer and one is not,
yeah,
right?
I think
so
you gotta, well, here, let's put it this way. Maris may have been, high on M&Ms. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know what Maris did when he hit a
right.
61, right? But it's not as if baseball has been this like squeaky clean sport all this time. I mean,
right.
you know, look at my beloved 86 Mets. I mean, they were a pharmacy, you know?
Right.
So basically, I have to say right now, Bonds has the record, but it
okay.
does have an asterisk.
Okay. So what do you expect the Mets to do for the rest of the season?
Well, I think the Mets, unfortunately, right now, with David Wright now just going out on the DL, which sucks. I think that they really, and I didn't believe this until probably about 6 weeks ago, I actually think they may be building something, not for this year, but they, you know, the rest of this year's
for the year 2029.
Yeah, let's shoot for I think they'll be above 500 next year, and I think they actually
okay.
can be competitive in 2 years, and that's for no other reason that they actually have developed pitching. I think that they have a real deal 5-person rotation right now, and if you're just looking about three.
Right.
If you look at, you know, Matt Harvey.
But
I'm so angry at Matt Harvey.
Matt Harvey being Cano in the All-Star games.
He said straight out, and you never hear a professional baseball player apologize for plunking someone.
Mm-hmm.
He actually apologized to him on the field. And that is, right. like, to me, all the proof I need. Wasn't up.
Well, isn't he just a lovely man?
Guy. So, and then you got Zach Wheeler. Then you have Dylan G's been pitching well. Jeremy Hefner. I mean, these are all guys in their early to mid-20s, and they're signed. And these are going to be Mets pitchers for a long time. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see, you know, Johan Santana pitch again. And, right. You know, they still have Jonathan Neese who's working his way back. So to me, if everything is in place and, you know, the starting five is in the spot in the rotation they should be, that's a pretty formidable pitching staff. And if they can pick up a couple of hitters in the offseason, because their problem is scoring runs, they have, you know, a really solid pitching staff. It's they don't score any runs. But if they can solve that problem, which I have no reason to believe that they won't, I think 2 years from now, they're actually like a competitive team.
So tell me about, you've been in the music industry forever, and we've talked about that, and you've helped me with things, actually, which I am eternally grateful for. What is the story with this book?
I did the book with a guy who's a friend of mine for a long time named Sasha Jenkins.
And what's the name of the book again?
The book is The Merciless Book of Metal Lists. And it's available everywhere, Amazon, bookstores. It's really even in bookstores.
Are there bookstores anymore?
There really are bookstores. There's no record stores, but there's definitely bookstores.
All right.
But, yeah. So, I was having a big nerd out conversation with a couple of friends of mine about metal, and we were just like, yeah, remember, like, that album sucks, and they used to be great, and blah, blah, blah. Isn't that the worst album cover you've ever seen? And going on and on. And I remember that Sasha, who I did this book with, did a book a few years back called The Book of Rap Lists.
Wait, I think I have it, and we're going to have
you
to
may
look.
Have it, because it was a pretty big deal book. I don't know
hilarious.
Too many people who don't have it.
I have an ex-boyfriend who bought it for me, and I made fun of him. Go on. Sorry, that's funny.
I gave it to at least five people as a gift. I broke up with all five of them. But anyway, we did the book, and we came up with this idea, and I said to Sasha, how come there's never been, you know, a metal version of this book? Like, metal's, like, perfect for this kind of format, you know? I was like, do you want to do this? And he was like, sure. So we started putting some stuff together. And he introduced me, because he is an author. He's actually written real books. And he's legit. I am clearly illegitimate. And so introduced me to his agent, and the agent shopped this proposal we did, and we got a deal for the book in about 3 weeks. And ironically, the publisher is Abrams Books, and I really have absolutely nothing to do with them.
Wow. Well, it's sort of like the stars aligned, though.
They all came together quite nicely, yes.
It's really cool. Not only are you a world-renowned author, but you apparently know your stuff about baseball. I'm impressed.
And I'm a baseball fan.
Well, you're a Mets guy. You have to be practical.
You have to be practical, and you can't get too high, you can't get too low.
So what can we expect from you in your authorship-dom in the future?
Currently working on a second book, and this one was actually a book I was hired to do, which is really shocking, let alone just the first idea, which was just a wacky idea I brought to somebody to see if they wanted to spend money on it. But I was hired to do a book going over the 20 years of the Vans Warped Tour. So I'm doing that book right now. It's an oral history book, so I'm conducting all of the interviews, and I'm shaping all of the storylines and the chapters and stuff. And that's been really fun, because I've been interviewing, you know, some of my favorite bands of all time, and then just some other bands that are just sort of, you know, huge and that I've gotten to speak with. So
wow, like what bands?
Already, everybody from Bad Religion to No Doubt. So it's been pretty incredible.
Wow. And then, I feel like I'm the Gwen Stefani of baseball, but go on.
So you're traveling in a bus with a bunch of dudes, like,
well, that's the goal.
That's the goal. And,
I'm going to be on the plane with the Yankees, you know?
What you're going for?
Sure.
The problem is, will you know any of the Yankees that are on that plane now?
I know some of I know one of the Yankees. Right. And I know him. I don't know. He knows who I am. That's good, right? That's close.
The 50 will get anyway. You on the 2 train.
So go on. What else are you doing with that?
That book, and that's going to be for next summer, which will be the 20th year of the tour. And then with the first book, with the Merciless Book of Metalists, available now, the second year of the CBGB's Fest is going to happen. They did it last year. It's sort of a CMJ, South by Southwest kind of festival, and they're doing it in October this year in New York City.
Rocktober!
and I don't think either of our teams will be.
No, I was going to say, will the World Series be going on somewhere in the country?
But for either of our teams. But in Rocktober, I'll be putting on a show in conjunction with the CBGB's Fest. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be the Merciless Book of Metal List Presents. I'm going to leave the line after presents blank, but let's just say it's a pretty heavy-duty, substantial metal band who is way too big to be playing Santos Party House or whatever it's called on October 12th.
I've been there.
And so keep an eye on the listings for the CBGB's Fest and what band is going to be playing Santos on October 12th as presented by the Merciless Book of Metal List.
I might have to go check that out.
Oh, I'm on my floor, so I'm going to bolt.
You're on floor 1,974.
Forget that thing in Chicago that I guess is...
The Sears Tower?
Opens. But we're holding up the elevator now, so I'm going to bolt. Right. But it was great talking baseball with you.
All right. I'm going to stay in here. I got business in here, you know? But you go do your thing. I'll talk to you soon.
What happens with A-Rod?
Aren't we all? Right, yeah, but who cares about that? All right, bye, Howie.
Hey, I'm back.
Perfect timing.
Hey, who's that tattoo guy? He looks really familiar.
That's Howie Abrams.
The Howie Abrams?
Yes.
The Merciless Book of Metal List Howie Abrams?
The very same.
Hey, you know, we should get that guy to get on the show.
Yeah, that's a super idea, Giga. Why don't you work on that?
Okay, I think I will.
Oh my god, okay. You're the man.
So, check it out. I told you I'd do it.
Okay. So what did you get?
In my hands, I have the official statement from Major League Baseball.
How did you get that?
It's hot off the presses, and by hot off the presses, I mean I took it off of their copy machine. So, A-Rod has been suspended.
Shocking.
Yes. For 211 games.
What kind of number is that?
It covers the remainder of the 2013 season.
All right.
Including the postseason.
Right.
And the entire 2014 season.
Oh.
Starting this Thursday, August 8th.
What? Okay, whatever.
Right. So, this is what they're saying. They said, they suspended him on two different grounds. Right? The Joint Drug Prevention Treatment Program.
Right.
So that suspension is based on his use and possession of numerous forms of prohibited performance-enhancing substances, including testosterone and human growth hormone, over the course of multiple years.
What about kale juice? that enhances my performance, but...
I'm sure they'll throw it up.
Yeah, they'll suspend him for that, too.
And under the basic agreement, under CBA, he's been also suspended for attempting to cover up his violations by engaging in a course of conduct intended to obstruct and frustrate the Office of the Commissioner's investigation.
Frustrate them.
Basically, what they say is that he—I don't know if he attempted or he actually did buy some of the evidence from the Biogenesis lab. He, you know, he knew that they were coming after him. He offered them money. He got some of the evidence.
Did they bring it to him in like an unmarked car in a briefcase? Like, what is he? Does he think this is like a bad like comedy from the 80s or something? Like,
it's the Orange Futures.
Right. Exactly. Trading Places. I'm going to buy the evidence. All right, good thinking, A-Rod.
So, yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting that it's up to the player whether or not they disclose what the actual stuff is, what they have on them. Like, you haven't heard what happened to Ryan Braun, what they got on him. You haven't heard the other 12 guys who spent today. Not a word about what the evidence was for them.
Right, well, why would they? But why would they say what the evidence said?
Right, because they're not fighting it, so they don't care. In this case, I think Major League Baseball is trying to... They're trying to dirty it up, you know, dirty them up in the court of public opinion.
Okay.
So they're letting out more than they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm sure A-Rod's going to use that as part of his appeal. Hey, obviously, I've got not preferential treatment, but it's the opposite of preferential treatment. But
not preferential treatment.
There's a little witch hunting vendetta against him. The thing
right.
This person.
A weech!
So because that they are suspending him under the drug usage as opposed to using the best, what's called the best interest of baseball clause, he can play while his appeal is being heard.
So how long might that take? So
you're allowed 20 days to present your evidence, and then the mediator is given 25 days to state his case. Although that comes and goes, it sometimes is less, sometimes more. In this case, a little different because it's a brand new mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they fired the last one.
Why?
Well, because when Ryan Braun appealed his suspension last year, the mediator sided with Ryan Braun.
So they fired him?
They fired
him. Well, I mean, oh my god. You're a mediator, you're impartial, and if you don't do what we say, we're going to fire you.
Pretty much. So, new mediator, so he's got to hire a new staff. So it'll take longer. There's some people saying it actually may not be until November, that decision.
So A-Rod could play the rest of the season if he doesn't hurt his quad.
Right, and if the Yankees do well, he could actually play through the World Series. If the Yankees make the
World Series. Oh, when they make the World Series?
He could
actually play. If you're going there, then I'll go there with you, too, into the little fantasy land that you're living in. That's nice.
So, that being said, A-Rod is in tonight's lineup, batting cleanup.
Right.
I mean, think about that. This A-Rod is making his 2013 debut the very same day he's been suspended for the 2013 season and also 2014. Kind of strange.
It is crazy. But you know what the good thing about it is? It's been taking up so much of our time today, everybody's time, that we haven't really had to think about how poorly the Yankees are playing most of the time.
Right.
The intrigue, the story, the movie that will be made.
So I know a lot of people saying that they shouldn't, Yankees shouldn't play A-Rod, but it's not right, he's been suspended. Well, let's face it, they need him. You know, and we're only, I think 4 games out of the wild card right now? The second wild card? I mean, it's within reach. The playoffs are within reach.
All right.
You know, if you've got a guy, he's on your team, right? Mm-hmm. And he's legally allowed to play, you play him, right?
Yep, and then watch as he walks and pops up and strikes out.
Or homers and gets his promised land. Yeah.
All right. Again, if you want to go there, then I will take your fantasy, your magic carpet ride into Fantasyland.
Are you doubting him? Are you telling me that he's not going to do anything? Is that what you're telling
me? I've never been a huge... I've never even been a minor A-Rod fan, except when I saw him in person and I freaked out, but that's the separate issue.
But is that because of how he plays or because of his personality? Because, I mean, the guy is a bit of a clown, right?
Right, it's just his personality.
But you can't deny that he's one of the greatest guys you've ever seen.
Maybe, but last year he wasn't.
Actually, he was also hurt. They found out that he had the hip problem. And the whole team was horrible last year. You can't blame him.
Right, well, you know, I guess when you're 57 years old and you're playing with a hip injury.
He'll be 40 at the end of the suspension. And he'll still have 3 years left on his contract.
40, that's so... old. Who's 40? Not me.
He left 3 years and about $65 million left on his contract after that.
Wow, what a crazy world we live in. I don't know.
Which brings up the point of why he's fighting is the 211 days, it's going to cost him $33.2 million, I think.
$1 million.
Right, $33 million. Hell yeah, you fight that.
Yeah, but nobody feels bad for him because of the money he's going to be losing.
Right, I mean, he's richer than, like I said, most teams, right?
Right. The small island nation of A-Rod.
I think he can buy the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Maybe he will, and then he can play on them.
See, that would be interesting. If he gets suspended, he gets, can't play, would they let him come back and be an owner?
I bet they wouldn't. I don't know. Well, who knows what the rules are, but...
That would be so cool.
So do you think this whole, PED scandal is... on the same par with the Black Sox scandal of 1919, where, what was it, Judge Mountain Landis?
Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Did I tell you that I wrote my 8th grade independent study on the Black Sox scandal?
Oh, really?
And I kind of incorporated the movie 8 Men Out into it. And I have to give credit to Bullpen Betty's mother, who gave me the idea to do this, because she, such a big baseball fan.
Was Mama Betty a fan of the 1919 White Sox?
No, but, we've talked about her father was, a player, and
right.
He was alive then.
Right.
He was born in the 1800s, the old boy. Anyway, so the Chicago White Sox, they lost the series to the Reds.
They threw the series.
They lost, and then they found out that they threw the series because of gambling, and 8 White Sox players were banned, right, for life?
I mean, the most important thing, it was Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Right.
And he was a guy who, I guess, would be comparable to A-Rod. He was a fantastic player.
Do you know, do you recall in The Godfather Part 2 when Hyman Roth alluded to the Black Sox scandal when he said that he had loved baseball ever since Arnold Rothstein fixed the World Series in 1919. That awesome.
Is it as big as that? I'm not sure. Because at that time, baseball was the be-all and
end-all pastime.
It was really a national pastime. Football was nothing. Basketball, I don't even know if basketball was invented yet.
Right. James Naismith.
Right. So
where did I come up with that?
Baseball fully was everything, and but baseball came back, and you know why they came back, right?
Oh God, I know this was part of my paper. I can't remember
who brought baseball back. The 1919 scandal.
Was it like the war?
No.
Women?
No.
Damn.
The Bambino.
Oh my goodness!
Babe Ruth, I think, started. I think he signed with Boston in 1920, 1921, something like that. Yankees got him in 1923.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought baseball back to popularity.
Wow. Was there a war in 1919 going on?
It ended in 1918.
All right, well, you know, I wasn't completely off.
So, you know, it happened. I mean, baseball, 1994 strike was brought back by, you know, Cal Ripken and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, right? There's some steroids there. That helped. So now this is the black eye for baseball. It is. He's a big time player. These are a lot of all stars and MVP type players. But you know, baseball will bounce back. It always does. We still love the game, right?
We're obsessed with it. I feel like it was like when Bill Clinton ran for president in 1992. I like my whole like life stopped that day, and I just watched TV with my bags packed to move to Canada if he lost.
Was that your first election?
That was my first president I voted for, yes.
I voted for Jimmy Carter. I voted for Jimmy Carter and lost.
That's an awesome t-shirt. So, but I feel like that, it's like the same, like I've just been obsessed with it all day today, because so obviously I love it. I love it so much. Well, I congratulate you for getting the news hot off the presses, but I think that our job is done here.
Well, your job is anyway. You know, I started mopping up the men's bathroom. I want to finish off my job. You know, I don't like leaving anything half done.
That's nice of you. Hopefully they'll let you join the union and pay you for all the hard work you've been doing today, or not arrest you and throw you in jail for stealing the statement.
All right, I'm gonna get off here. I'll see you later.
All right, bye, Gigo. Howie!
What are you, just riding elevators all day? You're still in this thing.
Like I told you before, we're waiting for the A-Rod news. 211 games covering this year and all next year. But he's appealing and back on the field tonight, just like you predicted.
Exact.
Well, now that you're back on the elevator, I think that I want to give you the opportunity to pick the walk-off song of the week. So what are you going
to
pick?
God, I got to think. It probably should be dedicated to A-Rod somehow. So maybe it should be, you know, Bye 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 by NSYNC or like... No, actually, I have an idea.
Okay.
Because, obviously, we don't feel this way about it just being baseball, because this is our lives, but I think Monty Python, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, would be appropriate. What do you think?
I love it. I was expecting metal from you, but you know what? That song is, like, more than metal.
This is metal. Python is metal.
Oh, my God. All right, that's awesome, Harry. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to talk to us today and pick such a great song, too.
Well, I'll see you in the next elevator.
And any elevator in New York City. You never know who you might meet.
That's true.
Hey, well, I think our job here is done for the week. I always liked riding up and down in elevators. So if you want to follow us, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/bullpenbetty, or on Twitter at twitter.com/bullpenbetty, or you can listen to all of our podcasts, including this one, which you're already doing, on Bullpen Betty, bullpenbetty.podomatic.com. On that note, remember, I'm Betty, he's Gigo, and friends, don't let friends wear pink baseball caps.
Some things in life are bad, they can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show, keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
We'll come from nothing, you know what I say?
Always
cheer up, you old bugger. Come on, give us a quiz. There you are. See? The end of the film. Incidentally, this record's available
always
in the foyer.
Right,
some of us got to live as well, you know. Alright, it's a lot. Let's get this place up there.
The right,
change his mantle within 3 weeks. What do you think plays for this rubber? Never make the money back, you know. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.